my brothers and sisters, our topic today is the rest of the cross. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, and verse 18 and 19. Jesus Christ commands his disciples to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Yet Jesus also promised, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Many Christians would admit their experience has fallen far short of Christ's command and promise. His yoke of discipleship has not seemed easy or light, and his commandments have seemed difficult to keep. Why is this? A look at God's ways in the wilderness with Israel may help us to understand why and help us find his promised rest today. The Lord saved his people Israel by the blood of the Passover lamb, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and through 13, and delivered them from a kingdom of slavery, Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. He then baptized them in the sea and in the cloud of his presence, which was symbolic of baptism in water and the Spirit. See Exodus chapter 13 and 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. Then what does God do after his people are saved and baptized? Does he immediately bring them into the bounty of the promised land? No. Instead, he led them into the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15. A great and terrible desert, lacking in food and water, and inhabited by deadly spirits and scorpions, which are symbolic of demonic spirits. See Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. In this wilderness, God miraculously protected and provided for them with food and water, which are a picture of Jesus Christ. See John chapter 6, verse 31 through 58, and 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. The Lord's intent in the wilderness was to test his people and reveal whether they would trust and obey him. See Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. The Bible says God used the wilderness to discipline his people as a father trains his son. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. God's goal was to humble his people so they would learn to depend on him alone for their sufficiency. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. God wanted his people to realize that they had no ability or righteousness of their own to possess the promised land. See Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, and chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. However, Israel failed to understand the Lord and his ways during their wilderness testing. Despite the fact that they had witnessed his miraculous works, see Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9, and zealously built his tabernacle, see Exodus chapter 39, verse 42, they did not trust God and did not recognize his purpose in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Therefore, the Bible calls them a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. See Psalm 78, verse 8. As a result of their unbelief, most of God's people died in the wilderness without ever entering his promised rest. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Today, God still disciplines every son and daughter who belongs to him. See Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. After we are baptized in water and the Spirit, the Lord will often lead us into a wilderness experience where we suffer hardship and affliction. The Apostle Paul said, "We do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. The Greek word for affliction is thlipsis. It is also translated as tribulation and simply means pressure. God has designed our experience in the wilderness to press us beyond our natural ability so that by faith we will enter into Christ's rest. The wilderness is God's school of the Spirit. The wilderness is where God reveals to us the hidden attitudes and motives of our hearts. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The wilderness is the crucible God uses to purify our faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. See 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. The wilderness is intended to show us that we are incapable of living the overcoming Christian life in our natural strength. See 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, and chapter 3, verse 5. And to enlighten the eyes of our heart to see what his Son has accomplished for us on the cross. When we finally come to the end of ourselves, God will reveal the mystery of Christ's crucifixion to us. This is the divine revelation that God has included us in his Son's death, so his risen Son might live in us. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 11, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. When you know, that is, believe and act on, the biblical truth that when Christ died, your sinful nature died with him, you are then free to serve God without the fear of being defeated by sin. See Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 14. When you are convinced of this historic and divine eternal fact of your inclusion in Christ's death, you can then live by faith in the Son of God who lives in you. See Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. When you know, that is, believe and act on, the truth that you no longer have a sinful nature, you will learn to no longer rely on your natural ability to serve God. See Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. And Christ will become your true food and true drink. See John chapter 6, verse 55 and 56. So then, you enter into the rest of the cross when you know that you have died with Christ and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Israel failed to enter God's rest because of their unbelief. Although they professed faith in God, they trusted in their own righteousness and strength instead of God. See Psalm 78, verse 36, and Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Today, God's promised rest is fulfilled by Christ's completed work on the cross. The secret to entering God's rest is to know that we have died with Christ and we no longer live. We will then cease from depending on our own works and instead enter into his spiritual rest and his works. See Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. By resting in his victory on the cross, we can trust in Christ to sovereignly live in us and his yoke becomes easy. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 9 and 10. www.christcrucified.info